Hello, you're listening to a podcast by Speak Up Radio, sharing some of the features and interviews we've done with inspiring people and organisations across London. Here, you'll get all the chat, insights and information, but you won't get any of the music, and that's because of how licensing works. To get the full experience, tune into the radio station 24/7 by visiting www.advocacyproject.org.uk/speakupradio.
Hello everybody, how are we all doing?
Fine, thank you.
We're doing all right. The sun's shining.
Today I am outside my normal studio in Streatham and in sunny Kentish Town with the Synergy team. Could you all introduce yourselves?
Yeah. I'm Stuart.
And I'm Jackie.
And I'm Jidday.
And I'm Jill.
And I'm Sandy.
And I'm Musa.
And this is Jargon John.
Oh yes, we've got Jargon John, who might be a little bit quiet. We'll make sure the microphone is nice and close to him. So, Jackie, I wondered if you could tell us a bit about Synergy.
I can. Synergy is a speak up group. We go out and ask people things that are going on in the council, and we report it back for a place called Planning Together.
How long have you all been at Synergy?
Well, we've all actually been different times. I think I've been about 13 years, maybe.
13 years. Gosh. How about everybody else?
10 years.
A long time. Sandy?
I suppose a long time, really, because we changed our name, so it was something else before that, before we made it into Synergy. So I've been here from the beginning.
I've been in the whole thing since 2017.
I would say from the beginning.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I'm the only original member from when it first started, many, many years ago.
You've been here about 20 years, 15 yeah. years, because when I come 13, you'd already been here a few years, hadn't you?
Yeah.
So you're getting your old age pension soon,
isn't it? Say that.
I'm not that old.
Yeah. So Jackie said a couple of things, which Synergy does. What else have you done over all the years that you've been doing Synergy?
It's really good things.
We went to the House of Parliament, didn't we? Twice, I think.
Wow.
To launch a book, the poverty book. It was about seeing if we can get the money like everyone else and not have the £20 a week so we can... That was what we were trying to do, wasn't it?
The we went to the...
Right.
It was quite interesting. And everybody, this is a big room, big hall, and then at the side bit was Parliament. If you wanted, you could go and look what Parliament was doing, if you could get through the door.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you meet anybody famous when you went?
Yes, we met a few lords and the head of the NHS was there.
Wow.
Was there, yeah. The minister who was then at that time. Yeah.
We also do interviews.
Yeah.
To council people and psychologists and people like that.
You did an interview with the council very recently, didn't you?
We did last week. We done one.
Do you remember what position?
Top psychologist. Top was going to be like a manager, I think, of all the other ones the learning difficulty team.
What does that involve when you are involved in interviewing people?
You have to listen to see if they use jargon, and you have to know if they know about how to communicate with people with learning disabilities, including high needs and things like that.
See what they know about the job, make sure they've worked with people learning disabilities before, because it is the one we've done it for, is a learning disability team. So we asked questions, quite hard questions, didn't we? They said.
Yeah.
And the head of social care, we did. We interviewed the person, which person was coming for the job, head of social care. That was quite good because they used, Camden used our bit because we got rid of the people they wouldn't have got rid of. We picked up things they wouldn't have found.
Right.
So that was, they were useful. So they used our point system to make their thing better.
Mm.
So,
do you remember what kind of things you noticed?
I noticed that somebody was rehearsing what they what they were going to say, they rehearsed all the questions they were about to answer. So I could see through that. So when you ask another question over that, they got confused.
Right.
And they, you could see that they were rehearsed, they over-rehearsed. You could see that. And I just X on that.
And we've done lots of training for doctors and nurses and been to lots of conferences in the past. And sometimes in the past when I was out and about, I used to see people who I trained, and we did a conference once, and one of the nurses said it was the best training she's ever been to, because it helped her. Because we train doctors and nurses what it's like to be a person with a learning disability going into hospital.
We did some other training, but we did we all went there, and we went to the college.
Medical students.
Medical students.
They're going to be
so they come from all around the world, really. And they come from the college up next to the hospital up there. And they,
What was involved in the training?
Well, we did some role plays and chatted about our life experiences and experiences in hospital, what needs to be improved, and things like that.
Was there, what was one thing you wanted those doctors to take away?
To understand what it's like to be a person with a learning disability going into a hospital.
It can be very hard to communicate with people sometimes, can't it? And doctors can be quite, they don't listen.
Yeah.
And
I find it's very difficult to talk to the receptionist in the hospital. I find it really difficult to explain. And then when I tell me my name, and I said it perfectly, and they said, what? And they had to repeat it again. I find it's so, you just want to throw things at them.
That sounds very frustrating, Sandy.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And
I wondered, out of all of the things we've talked about, and maybe some things we haven't talked about, what are you most proud of from all of your time with Synergy?
Coming and seeing different people.
Yeah. What kind of people?
Like things doing. And come here and meetings and see other people.
Mm-hmm. So you guys meet every week?
Once a week we meet.
And you plan to do lots of different things?
Yeah.
Brilliant. And who was your favourite person to meet?
My friends.
Your friends? Yeah. Okay, you like being a part of the group.
The part of the friend.
That's brilliant. Okay. Thanks, Musa.
I think what Musa and Jude and me did for Synergy, we launched a behaviour study, and we launched it at a big conference. We all spoke how it was good or bad, and how we did through the process of it. So that was a good thing. So
challenge behaviour.
Yeah, positive behaviour.
Awesome. Jude, can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes. About the way people behave in a way, what upsets them. I need your help, please.
So it's you're right on a few things. Yeah, it was a study. So people got tablets to stop them having the raging happenings, and then they got a new way how to speak to them in a different way.
Right.
And take away the tablets and talk to them. And they spent some money, quite a bit of money, to get this. And they found that the graph with taking the tablets was exactly the same as taking the tablets away. So that's what they got.
Graph, jargon, what does it mean?
Yeah.
Graph is like a picture, isn't it? It shows some information.
It says it's a lovely group. It's a, I'm getting into deep water of jargon here. So it's like a something that goes up, like a weighing thing goes up and down.
Scales.
So the scales are on level ground, so it was meant to be down here. This it didn't work. It was meant to be down here. That, but it's actually the same power as that one. And I said, if you let it out a bit longer, it will work. And everybody's doing it now, so we made a difference in that. And things came out of that. Other things came out that we at Synergy did, that Jackie did, and Jill did. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sandy. Jackie and Jill.
Ori,
we also done me and Jill. Mm-hmm. We used to we worked with social workers, top social workers, mm-hmm. called what was they called?
BASM. BASIM or something like that.
Yeah. Tell them you made the thing, so you can tell them a bit about.
Yeah, I made this this hair thing. It's my mum's hair, and it's on the. Like what he was talking about, but it's on a sheet of paper and it's got different words, and it's for people with learning disabilities, for the social workers to ask the people how, for example, that means to say, what was your day like? So instead of just writing down yes and no, because we don't want things like that, we want them to explain. So the hair tool is that when social workers or people in the government thing, if they're not been doing their jobs, and it's got all the rainbow colours, but at the bottom of the hair, it's dark, really dark black, dark green, all that. And if they're still on the bottom in a little, because it would have been a little face or something, if they're still at the bottom, we want to know why they're still at the bottom, and they're not up the top where the big, like a volcano erupts and it's all yellow. So they should be at the top. And it was called the hair tool. And me and Jackie did it.
And we launched it, didn't we?
And we launched it, and it's out there now.
And wow. Camden are using it.
Yeah.
And Camden, it's all because of us, really.
And some of the other boroughs around London, social workers are using it.
They're going around teaching them what to do, and they're all, some of them are actually doing it now, aren't they?
Yeah.
That sounds like a really useful tool.
Yeah.
Help people take different tablets, wasn't it, as well as?
Oh, that's the other one.
Oh, the thing with Rory, isn't it?
Yeah, Rory with the tablets. Because the government wanted to stop giving people with disabilities, because we get lots of tablets. So they wanted to reduce them. In other words, reduce means take some away. And me and Jackie was involved in that, weren't we?
For quite a while, weren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, what did you do?
See if they can find different ways. Like we said, of say someone's got some sort of behaviour, to find out why they're getting upset.
Are you doing that?
So we're putting them on the tablet.
No, it's not.
No, it's only me and Jill done that.
So did you stop them from taking away some of the tablets?
Well, we said what we felt, which, I don't know what happened in the end, I suppose.
I think they were still doing it.
Mm.
Because you can't just take the tablets away, you have to replace it with something. So me and Jackie just came up with ideas on ways of being able to solve the problem before just taking away all the tablets, innit?
Yeah. And also why they're getting upset, innit?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that. And Stuart, we've not heard from you yet. Have you got anything that you're particularly proud of?
I've done lots and lots and lots of stuff. I think I'm just proud that I'm able to speak up for myself and say what I need to say, even though people might not like what I have to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Proud to be involved.
So,
Stuart, you are going to lead us in a little section talking about Williams syndrome. Could you start off by telling us what Williams syndrome is?
Yeah, it's a very rare genetic disorder, which means one of my genes is missing, which is gene 7, whatever that means.
Now, we're going to open the floor to questions from the other members of the Synergy team. Would anybody like to start us off? Yes, Jackie.
I'd like to know how it affects you.
Okay. Well, sometimes I'm happy and fine. Another day I can be in a different mood. So it affects my mood swings sometimes.
Jill?
Does it affect your food diets and things?
Yes. When I was younger, I was on a very low calcium diet, but no, I'm not. And sometimes I can eat something and I'm fine. Another day I can eat something else and I'm really ill afterwards.
Are there any foods you have to avoid, Stuart?
There's certain things, yeah. But sometimes I eat things and they have no effect. Sometimes they do. Just depends.
So can they... You say you've got missing a gene.
Yeah.
Can they magically put that gene back?
No.
They can't do that?
No.
In this day and age, no?
No.
That help? If they could, would you take that idea?
Probably not.
What is the treatment for it, Stuart?
There's no treatment for it. But there's a special blood test that you can do called a FISH test. Well, it's just like having a blood test, but it's done in a special way.
A huge needle or a very small needle?
A very small needle.
Yeah.
And what does that show you when you've had it done? Does it show your eye something or...?
The results show straight away if you have it or not, because I was born in the 70s, so it was not heard of. So I was diagnosed with two different things. One was Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which at that time meant my joints were rubbery. Then also I was diagnosed with hypergloxemia, which means I've got too much calcium in my body.
How often do you have to have a blood test?
Not very often.
Lisa, what's the question that's written there?
Does it stop you from doing things?
Yes and no. Because I'm a confident person, but sometimes it does stop me from doing certain things. Mm-hmm. It's like if I have to make a phone call to a council or some, like a doctor or something, I need someone to help me with that.
Is there anything that you'd like your doctor or the council to know when you've got to talk to them?
Not to be rude with me and to speak slowly so I can understand what they're going on about.
Judy, I wondered if you wanted to ask Stuart anything.
How does it feel?
I have good days and bad days.
When you have a bad day, what's that feel like, Stuart?
Not very good. I'm not the same person.
Is it? Do you have to take medication to help your thing? Does that help you or not?
The only medication I take is Rempil for high blood pressure. If I press it more for when I've got a bad headache, and a tablet for vitamins and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Stuart. So, thank you so much to Stuart for talking to us about Williams syndrome. Now, Jill is going to talk to us about jargon and why we should be avoiding it. Jill, what is jargon?
Jargon is a word that people in high-paid jobs and professors and teachers and prime ministers and all them people, I could talk about how many there is all day, and they love to use jargon. And jargon is a language that they use so other people who have a learning disability cannot understand a word they are talking about.
And Jill has been helping us today with a little jargon bell for whenever we're using a word which is too complicated or needs explaining or is jargon. So we've got a few questions for Jill. Musa, would you be able to start us off?
Where is it good to use easy word?
To use easy read is good for people with learning disabilities because down one side of the paper is pictures. And so we have the pictures to help us as well and the writing on the side. And it's done in what you would say plain English. In other words, if you're going to say scenario, which is a jargon word, and it's an outright ban in any part of the building, you would probably be talking about filming and acting and stuff like that. But many people use that for everything. So we like the easy words the best way. And it's not just for people with learning disabilities. You can use it for like children in nurseries. You can use it in school. You can use it anywhere.
Brilliant. Jide, have you got a question for Jill?
Why don't you like it?
I don't like jargon. It's not just I don't like it. People with learning disabilities does not like it because we need to be able to be a part of society and be more independent instead of just asking people to read things for us. If it was written in easy read, we wouldn't need people to help us.
Fantastic. Has anybody else got any questions about jargon for Jill?
Why do people use it, do you think?
People use it to make them look good. They love those words. There are loads of them, and they just like to use them to make themselves feel good. They don't want you to know what they're saying. And just everybody uses it. It's everywhere. It's on TV, schools, hospitals, everywhere. It needs to change.
Does it? Do you find it easier to pick people up who speak jargon in a huge meeting?
Yes, because if you don't understand the words they are saying or whatever they're talking about, if you can't understand that, then they are using jargon and that's how you pick them up. I have a saying, I've got my eyes on you. Stop using jargon, change for the future and use easy read.
So there are some words which people might not know are jargon because they use them so often. Have you got a way that people can tell what's a jargon word and what isn't?
Well, you know, you know it's a jargon word because it's longer than a shorter word. So if you wanted to say, and I can't think of any, do you know any jargon words? We had this problem before.
So you said scenario was one of them.
Yeah, scenario. Scenario is filming and acting and stuff. And people use it for silly things.
It was a play, wasn't it?
Yeah, you do it in a play. Scenario word, so you might as well just say acting. Or like, take this word, I've got a word. Accommodations. Now, why would you use that? It's housing, flats, rooms. That is got locked. I can't think how many letters it had. I used to remember, I think it had 13 or something like that. When you can use housing, it's shorter, isn't it?
Yeah, so shorter words, definitely better.
Yeah.
Words that everybody understands.
And not only jargon is words, take this piece of paper for instance, on part of it it's got a hash thing. We don't use them. Question marks, upside down eyes, I can't pronounce it.
Explanation.
Yeah, them things, anything like that, hyphens, people with learning disabilities don't use them.
So what would you do if there is a word like a lot of health words? What can you do? What would you do if someone don't know what the other word like? What is there another way? What would they do if they said it? You know,
if they said a jargon word, they'd have to explain what they said, and also, yeah, they have to explain what they said, And sometimes in some words you can't change them. So in medical words like even Williams thingy syndrome, you can't really change that because nobody know what you're talking about if you did. So those certain words you don't change. So if the, and sometimes there isn't a word that we can change, so we put it in a different, we leave it the same and we explain what the word says.
I think that's a really good point, Jill. I think often people who are professionals don't know what the word means themselves. They think they know what it means, but if they actually stop to think about it, they're using it to hide the fact they don't know something or they want to seem like they're more intelligent, they're cleverer than they are.
Yeah, that's what it is. They're hiding behind their screen.
GJ?
If it was a question, if it was the question like for an example, this kind of question like where as everyone, if it was a question, can you use a question mark?
Not really, because people with learning disabilities don't know what question marks are. And you know, like that word can't, and you have that little comma.
Mm.
Well, what I normally do, because I do a newsletter, I don't put that comma there. I just push it together and it still says the same. Isn't it?
Have you got any advice for anyone listening who might have a learning disability or might need easy read, but doesn't have the confidence to challenge jargon when they hear it?
No.
Have the confidence. Is that your...
Yeah, have confidence.
Speak up.
Tell them. Speak up. Say, don't speak jargon to me. Speak easy read.
So if we got a letter, if you got a letter, Jill, how would you want the person to put the letter in so we could understand it?
To put it in easy read with pictures. Pictures on the left-hand side, writing on the other. Brilliant. Not too many lines, maybe just like have three lines only.
How long have you been doing your jargon busting for?
Well, I am a jargon buster and I've been doing it for about 5 years, I think.
I think it's over there.
A lady called Kath, who used to help us, said to me, would you like to be the jargon buster? And I said yes. It's not. It's really hard work being a jargon buster because people don't listen. So I've come up with an idea. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
If you speak jargon and you get belled, or when we go to meetings, and you get two crosses, the third cross means you have to do a fine. So you have to write a 500-word essay why you are talking jargon to people with learning disabilities. And then bring it back to the group, reread it, and if it's fine, it has no jargon, it's fine. But then, if you do it again, it's a 1,000-word essay, and if you are still doing it, you wear the T-shirt for a month.
That sounds like a great system. And finally, it's not just you we're talking to. We also have another more silent guest who maybe just quickly introduce.
This is Jargon John. He has scruffy hair, wears glasses. He has a learning disability. He's disabled. He has one arm and he's deaf. And he's 18 years of age and he hates jargon.
What does he do if he hears jargon?
He goes on Twitter and names and shames you.
Brilliant. Thanks, Jill. So, thanks so much to Jill for talking to us about jargon. Now, Sandy and Gide are going to talk to us about the Greenwood Centre. Could you tell us what the Greenwood Centre is, Sandy?
Well, the Greenwood Centre is a building, obviously, that we... It was a building here before, which was based a community about people with basically learning difficulties, but it was they were basically, everybody was together. Now what we've got now is a new building, which is a similar building, but we've got mental health centre in the building, which is upstairs, because the building is only two floors, really, and there's a big garden at the top. And so then we got lots of other people in the building, and the learning difficulty service is downstairs. There's a cafe, which is a Unity Works, so that's good. There's a big space at the bottom where we can have anything happen, like music and things like that. But basically, it's now, well, we're doing like these big things to what to put in the building, what activities do.
Basically, what does that mean?
What's the word? Basically, it just means simply. So there's lots of different. There's a learning disability service downstairs. There's a mental health service. There's a garden on the top.
Yeah, there's that. We fought for the room, the big hall downstairs. I fought to put that in as a dance studio. Yes, so it's got a sprung floor. So I fought for that because they weren't going to put it in because there's a dance studio next door. There was. Now it's a sports place. Somebody wanted a swimming pool in here. And they built a basement downstairs. They didn't put it in because it would have cost £4,000 just to clean it. So Camden weren't going to pay that. And that's not... And everybody would have to be referred to come because it was not the swimming pool that you had. It was like a therapy pool.
Mm.
So that was not happening. Everybody was going outside the borough to do that. It would be nice for it to be here, but obviously it was too much money to spend. And then that went out. So we wanted things in here, but the things are not happening yet. But there were things in here before this thing happened. Well, we all had to isolate and go into like the virtual world kind of thing, disappear into your own head. If you can find your head, you can disappear into it, or a cup of tea or something.
You're getting into virtual.
It's basically not there. Pretend, but it's not pretend because it's actually there.
It's
a TV.
So online, yeah. Often, yeah. Mean by virtual, and sometimes people can use it to mean pretend. Yeah. So, Jude, you wanted to talk to us about what can help people come back to Greenwood after COVID and the lockdown.
Yes. What I think can help people to come back to Greenwood is... maybe if they can do things that they really enjoyed doing, like arts and crafts. And that's if I know it's difficult for some of them because they have to pay for their room.
So it should be easier for people to use the rooms.
Yes, because there is an art room that people used to use before the lockdown.
Mm-hmm. And you'd like people to use it more now?
Yeah, more than stopping them from coming. And maybe if people can do a poster to let people know that there's Greenwood here.
People need to know about it.
People need to know about Greenwood, like maybe do a poster or write a letter.
Thanks, GJ.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Sandy a question. What sorts of people coming to the Greenwood Centre?
Everybody. Everybody can come in here. Downstairs, it's open to the public, to everybody, really. It's only when you use different things, then you need to be like a learning visit or mental health, or it's that kind of thing. So you can access the ground floor, the cafe and stuff. So when you have to do other things, then it's different, isn't it? But there's not actually things happening. So
yeah.
What it needs to be, that needs to pay somebody, or somebody has to, a company or a charity has to come in and pay for an art teacher to come in and do the art, or use the pottery wheel, because there's a pottery thing in the art room.
All right.
And do pottery and things like that. That can happen, but there needs to be a charge for that, because that costs money somehow. Sounds a bit dark, but you think of a room, why is it empty? You think, what do we put in there? But there's a charge for the room hire, and that's it's hard for us to understand that.
That's what's stopping it, isn't it?
Yeah,
so things happening.
Yeah, so things happening.
The CD has to make the money for the building, otherwise it'll end up not happening.
Yeah, that's the dilemma we're having, really. Yeah.
Dilemma.
So it's a stopping us. It's like a wall has been put there. And you can't get through that wall. You have to go round it. Then you get round it, another wall happens. Another wall, and then there's red tape there you have to go through.
Do you think it's stopping people seeing their friends, Sandy? Like, you've just come here and that.
Yeah, but yeah, the friends will come because they had money to do things here. Yeah. And they had a bit of charity money to do... Like they went up to the music room to do drumming, didn't they?
Mm.
And then they did some acting, didn't they? And all that kind of thing. That was happening. That was really good, actually, people were doing acting. People were doing, in the IT room, were doing sort of like a martial art thing, which is a bit, why wouldn't they go into the big hall and do that? Because it's like a dancing. They had Camden coming, because we're in Camden, by the way, to tell you about computers and how to do computers and tell you how to use them. That was really interesting. And they had people come from a college to come and do like what they call a podcasting thing and teach you how to do that. When the epidemic came, stopped dead. It's you can't go forward. You have an idea, but then you need that money to make it happen. It's just,
you'd like more to be happening here.
Yes. I think it could be a lovely building, and go into the evening and all things happening, but it's the building shuts at 7 o'clock, which is really difficult, really.
Mm.
And to pay the extra money for the security and all that kind of thing can be done, but it needs that support and something. I suppose if you're an advert, you had a TV show or it's sponsored by somebody, quite a big company, and they're advertised and they sponsor well, and that would be nice to do. And they, you could do art, you could do that, and that would be really wonderful to do that kind of thing.
But
It takes time to put that out there.
Thanks, Sandy. Let's leave it there then for the Greenwood Centre. Thank you, everybody. It's been such a pleasure talking to you today.
Yeah, it's been lovely, yeah.
Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for being the show, for speaking and, you know, with that. So
well, we can do more of them.
Yeah, well, hopefully here's some many more.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you'd like to leave us any feedback, you can email us at speakup@advocacyproject.org.uk, or you can go to our website, advocacyproject.org.uk/speakupradio. That's all one word. Thanks so much for listening, and do let us know what you thought.